Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, May 18th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we will be reading in the Big Book on page 82, the second paragraph, if we have no such complication. And it ends with, many of us would have no homes today and would perhaps be dead. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kim J., the 12 Traditions, Alex K., and the readers of the text are Sherry Z., Claire E., and Kathy B. The share ID for Wednesday, yesterday, May 17th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,270. That's 20270. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, May 18th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 20,272. That's 20272. And our newcomer greeter will be Lois P. Announcements person is Leslie M. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kim J. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Kim J., gratefully recovered compulsive eater and bulimic from Southern Arkansas. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me do service this morning.
And thank you very much, Kim J. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Morning, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 82 with the second paragraph down, and it begins with, if we have no such complications, and it ends with, have no homes, we would have no homes today, and would perhaps be dead. And I will now ask Sherry Z to get us started.
Thank you, Mo. Can you hear me?
Hmm. I can.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z in California, recovered compulsive overeater, and grateful, grateful, grateful. If we have no such complication, there's plenty we should do at home. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is keep sober. Certainly, he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he has so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding is the patience mothers and wives have had with alcoholics. Had this not been so, many of us would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. Again, Sherry recovered a compulsive overeater. So just to orient us, this is a paragraph that's answering a question that came the page before in 81. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. And this is saying, if we have no such complication. And this is coming off 18 paragraphs on steps 8 and 9, when we had 2 paragraphs for steps 6 and 7. For the newcomer, that means that this is a lot of instruction about how we are supposed to live after we put the food down. And it's supposed to be that sobriety is not enough. And I love this line, we're a long way from making good to the wife or parents who for whom we have shockingly treated. I truly believed if I put the food down, I was good. That was what my family deserved. But that was, as my sponsor says, step 0. Really, putting the food down was giving myself the freedom to live in the steps. And my family had been incredibly patient with me and my friends and my family because of my judgment and all my defects of character. And one of the things that happened right when I got recovered is that I, again, set aside my family. All I did was recovery, recovery, recovery. And there was a lot of, Mom, this is just as insane as you were before. And I had to really learn that the living amends is that sobriety is not enough and that they've been incredibly patient and I have to be incredibly patient. So my living amends every day is really asking myself, am I trying to be with them in a present way, or am I just trying to sort of get by? The other thing I would say is this recovery has given me a home that I didn't know was possible, in the sense that I'm truly present for the people, especially my children and my husband, in a way I've never been before. Every day? No. Do I do my best? Yes. Do I still have defects of character? Yes. But what this paragraph's telling me is that if I pick up the food, I would have no home. And that I know to the very core of my being. So for the newcomer, please put down the food and then this life opens up to you. I can tell you it has happened for me, and that was after a very long time of thinking that just being sober was enough. And I don't think that today. Sobriety is but a beginning. Abstinence is but a beginning. And then I have the steps in which is a life of healthy and meaningful living. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry Z from California, to get us started. Again, we're on page 82, second paragraph down, if we have no such complication. And it ends with, would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. We have no homes today. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, you could share today. No, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you could share today. All right, I'll take the names.
Margo.
Donna W. Donna W.
I heard Margo. Wait a minute, I heard Margo, and then who was after Margo?
Donna W.
Donna.
Bruce
Claire
E.
E from the UK. Bruce, who was after Bruce?
Claire E. from the UK.
Oh, Claire, I got you, Claire.
Rella R.
Rella R.
From Brooklyn.
Selena
okay.
M.
Selena M. We'll stop there. That's a good group.
Barbara E. from New Jersey, if there's time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll put you down here, Barbara. That's seven. Okay, we'll stop there. We have Margo B., Donna W., Bruce E., Claire E., Rella R., Selena M., and Barbara E. So everyone else mute your phone except Margo B. Good morning, Margo.
Hi, Margo B. from New York. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service and qualification. Wow. So a lot of things came to my heart. First of all, I remember my sponsor when I was first getting sober and abstinent. She was like, okay, enough with the meetings. Go out and be in life. That was basically what she was telling me. It was just like taking, you know, it reminds me of that toy. You hit down one and the other one pops up. Just where this stuff can go. And it's really, I love hearing and being reminded. It's all about the living amends, doing it differently. And this, you know, me keeping myself, like my life small so that I could feel safe. And that's not what this is about. This is about me cleaning house, trusting God, and moving forward and being of service and being in life. It's a bridge back to life. So what? I'm not hiding with the food now. I'm just hiding with my thoughts or hiding with my own little schedule. No, that's not what this is about. And I need it. And this is like, I don't know what meeting this is for me, but this has been the recurrent theme all week long. So I'm just going to keep praying about it and asking, am I isolating, Lord? You know, where am I not completely abandoning myself to you? Where am I not completely trusting in you? And I'm so grateful that God didn't give up on me when I could have given up on myself. And it definitely, definitely starts with the food. But it's just that's the tip of the iceberg. It has to keep going deeper and deeper. And I'm just so grateful that I can be out in the world at moments and be less terrified. And it's going to be a process, right? So I'm just really grateful to claim my space. So thanks for letting me share.
And thank you very much, Margo B., Donna W., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Donna W. in Northern California checking in. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery and my higher power today. And, you know, I was thinking about this paragraph this morning, and I was like, well, you know, I don't have much wreckage. I love the next paragraph about the tornado, and it's like, come on, Donna. You know, like I have this delusion that all I need to do is lose weight or be a certain weight and everything is fine. And, you know, that is such a lie. And no matter how long I've been in program and how much weight I've lost or how long I've maintained weight, I just still have this loop in my head. This part of my disease is so focused on if I could just lose 5 pounds, everything will be fine. So I want to turn that over, and that, you know, part of being a compulsive eater and being fixated on my weight is that I'm emotionally stunted. You know, I missed out a lot of emotional growth, and so everything is not okay. And thanks for this program. I'm finally growing up in my life and learning how to take responsibility for my actions and make amends. And because of all that, I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And so now I really can't mess it up, because if I go into the food, like I have so much to lose now. So it's like the stakes are way higher. So I just want to say, like, my disease tells me lies. And I, you know, maybe I can just, like, you know, let them be there and I don't have to get sucked into them today. And that this is so much more than just putting down the food and losing some weight. This is a spiritual program of recovery, and I need all you guys, and I need my loving higher power, and I need to take action today. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. Bruce E., followed by Claire E. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Yes, good morning, Mo, and everybody.
Yes.
Thank you. And I'm Bruce, and I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in Fort Myers, Florida. Grateful to be on the line today. Grateful for a lot, really. Grateful for abstinence. Grateful for the meeting. So it says here, there is plenty we should do at home. So that's where the work starts for me, is at home. So I can put on a pretty good act here on the call and around other people, but what ends up happening is, you know, how am I doing at home? Because at home I let my guard down. You know, I just started to be comfortable, right? And then my true self starts to come out. So how am I doing at home? That's where the work is. Sometimes the alcoholic, all the things he needs to do is to keep sober. Well, that seems like that was the start of it. That was the beginning. That was just the very, very start and beginning. And a foundation, maybe. But then I had to do the work after that. One of the big things for me is to admit I am powerless. So, step one. I'm powerless over food, and I'm powerless over a whole lot, but I'm powerless over other people too. So I'm teaching this class not unrelated to food or the steps or anything. And so I'm teaching this class, and people aren't reading from my script. They ask me for advice. They ask me to help them, and they're not doing that. So I'm really deeply upset about that. I talked to somebody, and they said, you continue trying to be in charge and trying to play God here and think that you have power and control over people, you're going to get drunk, and then you're going to eat again. You're going to act out again, you know. So he's right, you know, he's right. So I had to admit that I was powerless, totally powerless over playing God, trying to be in charge, powerless over other people. I had to think of all the people specifically by name and my thoughts and just say, I'm powerless over this person. I'm powerless over that person. I'm powerless over that person, you know. So just like I'm powerless over food, I'm powerless over other people. Yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he had been shockingly treated. So thank you. So I got a lot of work to do here, and especially to my wife, to make up for some of the things I've done in the past. So thank you, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Bruce E. from Florida. Claire E., followed by Rella R. Good morning, Claire.
Hi, Mo. Good morning. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in the UK. So I've got just, you know, scribbled down the side of my big book, you know, this is Living Amends. Now we're coming on to Living Amends and Living Harms. And you know, I love the fact that the step 8 and 9 instructions in this book go through quite specific sort of different areas that we've harmed people and how we might start making amends. And I, you know, I echo what other people say. You know, when I was in the food, well, I thought I was shockingly treated by other people. But actually, when I sort of started going through the steps and looked at my harms, you know, I can see that I did shockingly treat people. And one of the first incarnations of going through the steps that I did, my sponsor at step 8 got me to write what I had done to people, but also how I would feel if that was done to me. And I had a lot of denial about my harms. I isolate a lot to eat. I was quite a loner. And I lied a lot. I think those are my sort of my most, I'm sorry, evasive and sort of. And, you know, it was really turned upon me, you know, how would I feel if that had been done to me, you know, and if somebody that I loved was constantly taking themselves off and clearly struggling, not asking for help, lying about it, lying, you know, I would feel pretty excluded and rejected. So, you know, it was really good for me to take a good look at how I had treated people when I was in the food, and in latter years, certainly with relapses, you know, certainly my rage and my temper, my irritable, restless discontent, you know, all those bedevilments, you know, that was my untreated alcoholism. But my family have also had to deal with me being stark raving abstinent from time to time. You know, certainly in early abstinence, it was all about meetings and food and phone calls and more phone calls and more meetings and not eating this and not going out. And, you know, they've both had both aspects of my disease. And, you know, although some of that I'm sure is very understandable in early abstinence, I was so terrified of relapse. You know, it's still not easy to live around. And my husband still to this day asks me pretty much every evening, how many calls have you got tonight? You know, and I've had to learn as time's gone on, you know, to be present with my family. And sometimes, as someone else has shared, it's easier to be on a meeting than it is to be present with my family. But that's what I need to do. You know, that's how I make good these days, is by being present and by giving the best of me rather than letting them have the worst of me. And one of the questions now that I have on my evening review, I've added into my evening review, was how would my husband and kids say I've been today? You know, what would they say it was like living with me today? You know, and that's quite a good question to ask myself sometimes, because I can still be waving my kids away while I'm on the phone, or you know, sort of, yeah, just being quite self-centered, even though I'm in the program. So, you know, they deserve to enjoy my recovery, just like I do, you know. And like it's been said, abstinence is the ticket in the door here. It's the bottom line. You know, my sobriety, my emotional sobriety around my family is what they see. They don't see my food. They see what I'm like to live with. And, you know, that's how I can demonstrate my higher power in my life today. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Claire E. from the UK. Up next is Rella R., followed by Selena M. Good morning, Rella.
Yeah, good morning. It's Rella R. Thank you all for your shares, and thank you, leader, for your lead. So I unfortunately missed, I'm hearing from the shares what the reading was about. I didn't read the passage, but it's, from what I understand, it's about looking inward, even if I've got the food down. And that was a good wake-up call for me, because I do tend to think that if I have the food down, that's the point of this all, and it's not. And I know that if the words that I don't keep enlarging my spiritual life, then I'm going to eventually find my way back to the food. So that's a real imperative for me to, focus on how I can enlarge my life. And I'm going away for the weekend, and I was getting frustrated. I live here in Brooklyn. Seems like the temperature dropped 20 degrees, and my mind was just filling up with, oh my goodness, I thought I was going to wear this, and now I'll have to change the wardrobe for this, you know, this retreat. And then I say to myself, it's real. I do get irritable, and I do get sometimes worked up over trivialities, but it's a sign for me. It's not a place for me to blame myself. It's a sign for me to stop and say, okay, what's going on the inside? How can I find, how can I be more objective? How can I focus on what's good? How can I focus on this is God's will? How can I focus on being happy and on my gratitudes and on my blessings? And, Bill does talk about turning inwards and, you know, cleaning house and my relationships within my family. So I've got a lot of dysfunction in my family. I've tried to make amends where I can, but I think what's left for me now is make living amends. So, this program is certainly helping me do that. And I'm very grateful to this program for giving me a formula. I like that word somebody used earlier, for staying sane and focused and looking at the places, looking at my inner spiritual world and where I can connect to my higher power in a healthier, more positive, more real way, more authentic way. So thank you all for listening, and I'll pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Rella R. from from New York. Up next, we have Selena M., followed by Barbara E., and after Barbara E., I will take more names for those who would like to share. Good morning, Selena.
Good morning, Mo. Hi, everyone. My name is Selena M., and I'm from Alberta, Canada. I really liked this reading today. And I just get, you know, I just kind of go back in time thinking about when I first joined program. And I do have to say, you know, when I first came into program, my marriage is on the rocks. My children were at risk of living a really emotionally unhealthy life because I was not emotionally healthy. I was an addict. I had many, many addictive behaviors. I had anger and rage and all of these things that, you know, I came in with coping mechanisms for not feeling my feelings. And so, and what I'll say is that I think that I've, you know, this program is a process for, it's been a process for me, and it didn't happen overnight that all of a sudden all of these dysfunctional behaviors that I had, you know, with my family disappeared. It took awareness. You know, I came into program thinking that the family dynamic was the way it should be, as how I grew up. And I didn't understand that my family dynamic was very, very unhealthy. And so it took the loving people in this program to retrain my brain as to what love, patience, love, tolerance, and kindness is. And, it took time. You know, I got abstinent, and then I started I was starting to participate in other addictive behaviors because that was, you know, I wasn't ready to totally feel my feelings. And, but slowly over time, little by slow, those addictive behaviors started to dissipate. And I was starting to replace that with a higher power and with a program that kept me sane. And through that, all of the awareness. And when I finally put the food down, I was able to start seeing what I hadn't been able to see before. And that awareness started to help me be able to change my actions. And I just got healthier and healthier. And here I am 12 years later and still working this program hard every single day to make sure that I show up for my family. And it's not perfect. You know, it's still, I have a lot of struggles. But I think I know, I see what healthy is now because I'm surrounded by a community that gets healthy behavior and gets spirituality. I just keep showing up and keeping the food down, keeping the food in its right place, and keep working these steps. And things are just getting, you know, they're getting better. Even sometimes I don't feel like it, but if I were to look from year over year, they're way better. So thanks everyone for showing up to this meeting, and I'm really grateful to have this meeting. So thanks, Selena M. from Alberta, Canada.
Hey, thank you, Selena M. Before I take Barbara E., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 82, the second paragraph. If we have no such complication, and it ends with, have no homes today or would perhaps be dead. And after Barbara, I will take a list of more names. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for doing this service. This is Barbara E. in New Jersey, a volume compulsive overeater. In fact, a volume compulsive person. I hear what you're saying. I've loved the shares. They've been so thought-provoking. And I just can speak for me. I wore so many masks. I didn't know the real me. I was kind to people in the supermarket. I was kind to people in my workplace, to my students, but at home I was, and sometimes can be, a rage maniac, be passive aggressive, be sarcastic, withdrawn. I can be this in a heartbeat, but this program gives me strength. So I'm grateful today in 2023 that I've learned a mistake for me should be my teacher, not my attacker. And a mistake, which I often make, is a lesson, not a loss. So it's just a temporary detour, not a dead end. I'm grateful that I learned when I focused on the problem always increases. And if I focus on the solution often increases. And sometimes I just have to wait and do nothing and not react, just respond. And respond kindly, which is not my natural disposition with my family of origin. As I said, I can be withdrawn. So I've learned to accept that some problems won't have solutions for me, and I'm not alone, and I can't fix the problem or even make a decision for my family without consulting them first. So I've learned many lessons on my journey in OA, and one of the things I've learned is to remember every day to accept myself as a human and that I will screw up sometimes. But if I've learned to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and will you help me, I've learned a lot. Thank you all. Thank you, everyone, at this meeting. Beautiful. I pass.
And thank you very much, Barbara E. And although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you can share today. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
This is Melanie in California. I'd like to share.
Melanie, what's your first initial of your last name?
H.
Okay. Thank you, Melanie. Melanie H.
Hillary B.
B. Okay. Thank you, Hillary. Anyone else? On page 82, second paragraph, if we have no such complication, it ends with have no homes today, would perhaps be dead.
Jennifer R., Northern California.
Nancy L.
Jennifer R. And Nancy, what was your last initial, Nancy?
Nancy L.
L. Okay. All right. Let's go with those four. I have Melanie H., Hillary B., Jennifer R., and Nancy L., and all mute except for Melanie. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning. The paragraph for me, it really makes me reflect of like when I came back or when I came to program for the first time, and just I was just like overtaken with bitterness on parenthood and how challenging and that was for me. And I think that, I was so selfish in what that meant. You know, it was all about, like when I came into program, I think it was all about me and it really wasn't realizing that the impact that my recovery would have on the people around me. It was just like, I need help. And my suffering is with compulsive overeating is so intense that it's just making my life miserable. And I, in that program or through being in program, have been able to embrace the challenges of parenting, being able to just completely change the way that I interact with my son, who's now 10 years old, and just what a gift it's been to our relationship. And you know, I think he was 2 when I came into program, I really don't know like what it really would have even looked like doing this journey of solo parenting without this program. And you know, every day that ability to look at my character defects and how they affect the people around me has been such a gift in the closeness that we share, and being able to model through doing my nightly inventory, what it looks like to look at our own defects and how they affect the people around us and how we can take responsibility for that. The program is just, you know, the incredible gift of being able to bring me closer to the people around me, and specifically to create a life for our family that I always wanted when I had imagined it growing up, but that compulsive overeating had gotten in the way of. Thanks for letting me share. This is Melanie H. in California.
Well, thank you, Melanie H. in California. Up next is Hillary B., followed by Jennifer R. Good morning, Hillary. Let us know where you're calling from, Hillary.
Yes. Hi, I'm Hillary B. in California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm feeling life is very difficult for me. I'm in my first 20 days of abstinence. I've been here so many times in my life, I just keep relapsing. And and it's weird to me to share when I don't know who's listening, can't see any faces, just sharing to the unknown. But I'm doing it because people today, this morning, are sharing my issues. It's such a gift. I'm a force for the opposite of good in my marriage, in my home, and my withdrawal from sugar and flour is killing me. Not killing me, it's saving my life, but I mean, I'm really acting out bad, And so I just need to say that I'm the tornado, and to hear that other people have gotten through that and have learned how to be loving members of their family. And I need to do that. And I've already been working on this for a long, long time, meaning not being carried away by this character defect that's in me to lash out at those close to me. But I hope that this is withdrawal and that it will get better. And I'm going to keep showing up. And thank you all who shared just for me. I really appreciate it. I maybe can get through this day. Okay. Bye.
Thank you very much for sharing. That's Hillary B. from California. Up next is Jennifer R. and then followed by Nancy L. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Mo. This is the first time sharing. I am from Southern California. My name is Jennifer R. and I just bolted back to my car, which I can do now. I've got 8 months of abstinence. Well, let's say strict abstinence. I think it's about 4 or 5 now. Amen. And that's because I started listening to a Vision for You. And so I've known about OA since I was 11. I'm 51. And it was at a time when there wasn't the structure. And so I remember telling my parents, I Mom, Dad, I need to go to OA. I'm a compulsive overeater. So they took me a few meetings. And then at 39, 40, my counselor said, I'm going to not work with you unless you go into a 12-step program for food addiction, because this might lead into alcohol. And I lost all the weight, dry-knuckled it. And because I wasn't aware of this part, which is working the steps, putting the food down is just opening the door, but walking through it is doing the steps, surrendering, making the calls, not just showing up for the meetings, and not just feeling better in your body, although that was quite a shock because I never was thin in my whole life, so it was really weird, but fun. But really, I didn't know how to deal with my anger, with my feeling. And today, I just came back into program, and just in a lot of desperation, back in September. Second sponsor in, has what I want, like the people on this line. God bless her and me for being willing to be here. Feelings. I'm currently working on how to be present with my feelings, my sadness, my anger, with the sensation of feeling love for another now. I'm feeling a lot of peace, a lot of happiness. But how do I want to channel that now? Because I used to channel these feelings with going to the refrigerator. I was looking for my mother in the refrigerator. And all my answers are inside me. As they work these steps and maintain a spiritual connection through my heart, a mind-heart connection. How powerful we become when we, as I do this. And so my next step in feeling my feelings is to not judge them, accept the feeling, and then move forward in an action that my that I'm to do something with it. Like I might go for a walk, I might write, I might call a fellow. I'm looking at playing guitar now, writing some songs. And I just want to thank you, Mo, and everybody here. God bless you all, and stay with us. This is the ticket.
Thank you very much, Jennifer R. from California. And up next will be Nancy L., and we'll see if we have a few minutes for a quick share. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Nancy L. in Arizona. If we have no such complication, there's plenty we should do at home. And, oh, my gosh, my home was a wreck. I wasn't unfaithful. My husband wasn't unfaithful. But when it came to the food, I was definitely, my whole entire being was only to live to eat. I really had to resolve the fact that I was a food addict and that my life was going nowhere and I was taking my family down with me. My husband would come home and say to me, Nancy, I never know what I'm coming home to. I'm going to come home to a happy wife or a raging wife or a sullen, depressed wife. I never, ever know. And you know what I used to think back then when I wasn't in recovery? Hey, you're not the only one. I'd wake up in the morning never knowing how I was going to act. Was I going to be a rageaholic or extremely sullen and regretful for the behavior of the day before or the binge the night before? It was such a horrible way to live. And I really and truly did believe, if I didn't believe in anything, I did believe someday I'm going to be out on the street. I know my kids will probably be grown and gone, and my husband will divorce me, and I will have nothing. That was my belief, and it didn't make my depression any better, that is for sure. I'm so, so, so grateful for the 12 steps, for OA, so grateful for this meeting, because my life has changed incredibly, and I owe it all to my higher power. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Nancy L. from Arizona. We have time for like a 1.5 minute share, if anybody would like to jump in there. And
I would like to take this last spot, Mo, if I may.
You may. You're on, Larry. I'll give you a minute and a half. How's that?
I'll take a minute. Larry G. From Northern California. I am profoundly grateful for Vision for You. I'm grateful for the new people I relate to. I relate to the people coming back after relapse, and I also relate to the old timers. Today I'm celebrating 3 years of entire absence as defined by the doctor's opinion. And on this date, I was a dead man walking. I was 2 months shy of my 39th birthday in AA, and I didn't want to live. And if I can be a testimony of somebody who can do this through the grace of God, through the fellowship, through the steps, so be it. I'm just amazed every day that I'm waking up absent, I'm going to bed absent, food neutrality. I just upped the game. I'm on this anti-inflammatory diet food plan that I would have never been able to do 3 years ago. I simply made the call to somebody. I did not know this person was a member of Vision for You. She 12-stepped me in a Vision for You. I now have a sponsor that's compassionate, loving. We work every week. I text my food in, and by her compassion and generosity, I finally surrendered to a food plan that I'm texting. That is just miraculous. Anyway, thank you, Vision for You. I'm out.
Thank you very much, Larry G., and congratulations. All right. Thank you all for your shares, and thank you all who gave service. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Claire E. to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Claire. Good morning again.
Thank you, Mo. Hello again. So page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.